B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Aaron Hernandez Netflix miniseries, 3 episodes. It's called Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez. I've seen it. I think it sucks. That's my review. A waste of time.
If
you followed the story.
I was going to say, if you didn't know anything, because it sucked.
If you didn't know anything about the story, you could watch it and learn about it. But even if you didn't know anything about it, you should be able to see the angle that the makers of the documentary, and I know that Dan Wetzel is listed, I believe, as a co-producer on this project, which I'm sort of surprised by. He's in it. Dan Wetzel's in it quite a bit. But if you watch it and you didn't know anything about the Hernandez saga, we'll call it, you should be able to clearly see the angle that Aaron Hernandez turned into a murderer because he had played football, taken hits to the head, and also was hiding the fact that he was gay. That is the angle that this Netflix miniseries takes. That is what they try and pin it on. That's my takeaway from it. It was overwhelming how much they went back to it and kept reiterating those points that he had played football, that he had taken big hits, and the fact that he was covering up and hiding that he was gay, and he had a hard time living with himself over that issue. That's what they continue to hammer throughout the course of the documentary. So Devin McCourty and his brother, Jason McCourty, the twins, McCourty twins, they have a podcast, Double Coverage with the McCourty Twins is the name of the podcast.
Lock it up.
And in the episode that they put up yesterday, Devin McCourty actually discusses the Netflix documentary. He watched it, and he's also someone that knew Aaron Hernandez and was a teammate of Aaron Hernandez's. So here's what Devin McCourty says.
The documentary's called, like, Getting Into the Mind of Aaron Hernandez. How? Like, you didn't get... We interviewed Callahan, who didn't know him. We interviewed Lee Bodden, who kind of played with him, but, like, was on IR. Then the next year, Jermaine Wiggins didn't play with him. Moreland from San Francisco, who retired early, linebacker, didn't play with him. Like, I don't even think he was in the league until, like, 2 or 3 years after all of this happened. And then you had a bunch of people from high school, from the way back past. So it was like, all right, we got the high school. We got some of the early life. We already got that, though. We knew that there was no bridge. Like, there was no bridge to get. So I just felt like the documentary had, like, all right, we want people to walk away with this. I think, like, a good documentary you watch, and I feel like usually everyone walks away with something that they had thought from a documentary that's just filled with information, stuff you didn't know. This, to me, was just like, hey, we want you to know, we want you to walk away and think that he was homosexual and he had CTE, and that's why all of this happened. And, like, to me, when I watch a documentary, I want to watch it and then manifest and think of stuff on my own. I just felt like it was directed, just directly at that the whole time.
It's a pretty good review.
It's perfect for me.
I mean, it works for people that haven't followed the case or didn't pay attention to it when the case was going on, or you're just so horse-blinded by what a football player should or shouldn't be, and like, oh my, this is all new.
I loved that it's coming from someone who knew this guy,
like
played with this guy, knows way more about this guy than any of us know.
Like, I got friends texting me. They're like, wow, did you notice about him? I'm like, well, you didn't follow this. My wife even watched the documentary. She's like, wow, that stuff went on, huh? I'm like, yeah, we kind of knew all this. The stuff that I was amused by throughout all of it, again, like I told you earlier, were the conversations. Like, you know, while he was in prison, that type of stuff. Yeah, you can't put a swoosh on an orange jumpsuit, but daddy's on vacation for a little bit. That stuff was just creepy. You're actually talking to a prisoner. And that's what's going on inside that dude's head. Because I didn't know him. I didn't. I ran into him a couple times on the road, but I didn't know the kid. That's good points by McCourty, though. You're going to people that really didn't know him, but you're allowing them to give the opinion to the world.
Yeah, no, the closest they got was Lee Bodden. Lee Bodden. That's what they came up with. And so he mentions Ryan O'Callaghan.
Lee Bodden. I forgot who the hell Lee Bodden was. I heard that name, and I was thinking of Dr. Bodden, the guy that does all the autopsies.
He's a weekly guest of Felger and Mass.
He was.
He was?
He absolutely yes. was.
Shut the front door.
Every week, and it was bad. It was not good.
Couldn't have been as good as the
It Volmer was not
ones.
Good, but he was offered, and we took
Jim,
it.
Jim, was it as good as the Volmer
the
ones?
The first and last player interview, weekly player interview.
For uh-huh. What about the Solder ones? The Volmer Solder ones.
They didn't have to do that.
We did.
We did.
He was probably better than those guys, I would think.
Yeah, he was probably better than Solder or Volmer.
Volmer. You can get upset with those.
Ryan O'Callaghan is in it to say, yeah, it's hard to be in the NFL and cover up that you're gay. That's what Ryan O'Callaghan's in there for. Like, to talk about what it's like to be an NFL player and be, you know, hiding your sexuality from your teammates.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it. You know, and it's just, it all seems to be part of what feels like excuse making for Aaron Hernandez in this documentary. Is what it feels like.
I'm trying to make him look like a better guy.
It there are people coming away from it.
Hey, it's not all his fault, man.
With sympathy for him. Which I just, you know, I find remarkable. Had he not murdered people, then I think you could have sympathy for him. Then you could say, you know what? This guy had a tough upbringing. He had things that impacted his life in negative ways. And he had to deal with it. That doesn't make you a murderer. There are plenty of people that deal with a lot of issues in their life and don't turn out to just start killing people. Like, come on.
It felt like they had a deal signed for a three-parter, and it was only probably a two-parter at most,
oh, man.
And they had to make it longer.
Did it feel like they were stretching?
Absolutely.
It moved extremely slow at times.
How many times did Ryan O'Callaghan say he gained weight to make himself less gay?
Yes.
He must have said it four times.
That he kept gaining weight as an excuse to be like out of shape.
To be unattractive,
and use
yeah.
it as an excuse to not have a girlfriend. Great. We get it. That's horrible. I'm, you know, the culture in the sport doesn't allow for you to be who you are. You know, that sucks. That didn't make Aaron Hernandez a murderer. Like, that's not what happened here. And it's just, I don't know. At the end of it, I just felt like the entire thing was just sort of salacious. Like, let's just keep playing the tapes from the jailhouse. Let's talk about how he was gay. Let's talk about how he had a horrible, you know, he was abused as a child. Let's talk about all those things.
The stuff with the mom was awesome. That was stuff I didn't know. The calls and the details about the mom. You knew some of it, but you didn't know all of it.
I mean, there's a lot of stories that have been written about that. There's a lot of stuff that's sort of been covered. If you really absorbed all the reporting over the last, you know, the couple of years that followed it, you probably had an idea about that. But obviously, it's far more clear when you hear the audio of the phone calls. So, I don't know, man. I watch it and I say, well, not a lot of stuff that's new here. It's completely new. And the interesting stuff is that the team, I guess if you didn't know that the team set him up in that apartment, the flop house, you know, that a team employee was the one talking to the real estate agent to get set up in the flop house. And you hear like the people that are like giving their account of it, which I guess is sort of different than reading it reported in a story.
Yeah, the neighbor. The
right.
lady.
You see, you know, you directly to a source who said, yeah, this guy from, you know, a real estate agent, and there's a, you know, they set him up with this. And so, I don't know. I think maybe that's a little bit better. It makes things more real. But I felt like the whole thing was just excuse making.
Didn't JJ live by the flop house? Jastrzemski?
That I don't know.
I think he was like neighbors with them.
Might have been. Call him up. Ask him. See what he's got to say on the matter. 617-776.
JJ is the neighbor of the flophouse.
Yeah,
the other
well,
JJ,
Joe Judge. Joe Judge was his next-door neighbor in Attleboro. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on that. We'll do that next. And also, Antonio Brown. Is he out of jail yet? Is Antonio Brown bailed out? Did they get him out of there?
I think so.
He had to go in front of the judge this morning, I believe.
On six conditions, I think I read.
Oh, he got six conditions for the judge to let him out. We'll get to the latest on Antonio Brown next as well.
Zoe and the Beatles. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hug and kiss.
Who's the
Amanda
crazy,
Hug and Kiss presiding.
Who's the crazy people in the back, Hardy, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest behind him?
All right, so you're looking at it now. If you're on our simulcast, NBC Sports Boston, you can see what he's dressed in. What, the people behind him?
Yeah, it looks like the loony bin.
No, all the people in jail, they're waiting to get arraigned.
The one that's rocking up and down, that's
an issue. Yeah, that's...
Oh, see, he's feeling it.
Oh, boy. I feel bad
You may want to get four chains out on this one.
Is that like a weighted workout vest? Was he in the middle of a workout when they arrested him? And that's
No, he turned himself in.
He was in a purple suit.
Was he in the middle of a workout when he turned himself in?
He may have been.
He had a purple suit.
I heard he had a purple suit, right, yeah. But Florida, the police in Florida said they've been called to his home 18 times since December.
Whoa. December of 2019.
He's been posting multiple videos of when the police show up there. We know of at least three or four instances that have been made public. No, they say the police have been called to the home of Antonio Brown 18 times since last month.
He paid for their football field. He paid for their men's leagues.
They returned the money.
They returned the money after he went on that tirade the last time against them with a ridiculous language that he was using towards them. Racial, everything. Just bad.
Okay, he is wearing what is called an anti-suicide smock. Also referred to as a Ferguson, a turtle suit, a Bam Bam suit, or a suicide gown.
Wow.
Oh. Tear-resistant, single-piece outer garment that detains an individual from forming a noose with the garment to commit suicide.
So something...
It's a quilted, collarless, sleeveless gown with adjustable openings at the shoulders, closed with a nylon hook and loop or similar fasteners. The thickness of the garment makes it impossible to roll or fold the garment so it can be used as a noose.
Oh, boy. So that means there was a threat.
So would you sign him today?
No.
Oh, today you wouldn't?
Not today.
Yesterday you would.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Today,
pre-rock though.
Today, no. 617-779-0985. Tom's in Newton. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just wanted to chime in on that Aaron Hernandez documentary you were talking about. I mean, I agree with you that some of the connections that they were trying to make there were a little bit, kind of ridiculous. But I think what's even more ridiculous is, I mean, you just kind of played that Devin McCourty podcast there where he's saying, oh, well, you know, nobody who played with him was in it. I mean, I was watching it thinking the same thing. But, I mean, it seems like none of the blue-chip beat guys or guys who were still on the team who did play with him wanted to be in it. Or, you know, maybe they're afraid of the team. I don't know. The other thing is, I mean, we knew this stuff before, but when you watch this documentary, it's pretty clear. I mean, how many bodies were associated with this guy? It's pretty clear how many years this guy was bad news. And so at the end of this whole thing, when the Patriots get up there and say, oh, we were duped. I mean, after you watch this documentary, it's kind of hard to believe that. Thanks.
Well, I think that, you know, when you say duped, right? I think they knew that Aaron Hernandez had a troubled and at times violent past. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the incidents that happened in Florida, that doesn't mean they thought he was out there murdering people, though.
Yeah. Actually,
you know what I mean? Like, I still.
Cold blood pulled the trigger.
Did they really believe the guy was capable of just in cold blood with not a thought in the world?
But can you be a thug? Can you be a gang leader? Can you do that without that being viewed as a murder? I think they may have thought that.
And if there's one thing you can sort of take away from the docket, this is maybe one of the few things I would look at and say that you could look at and say, I learned something about Aaron Hernandez, is just his body language and how carefree he was in the surveillance tapes after he had committed the murders, including the one that's in his house. Did he look particularly bothered or upset by the fact that he had just murdered Odin Lloyd?
No.
No. Nope. He wasn't troubled by that even a little bit. And so, to say, hey, we didn't know this would happen. I believe them. I believe the team. I always have. We didn't know the guy was out there murdering people. Yeah, we knew that he was into some bad stuff.
You know, bad guys are into bad stuff. You know that all the time. You hear things. You have little spies out there. But to think you would go to this extent, you know, if you're a troubled person, a lot of these guys play in the league and run with bad people. Sometimes you can't detach yourself from where you grew up and what you came from.
The guy we think he might be into drugs. And by the way, he likes to fight. He's been in a ton of fights. He fought the bartender down in Florida, right? Ruptured the guy's eardrum. The guy's just violent. He fights. He's out there trying to fight people.
Got a confrontation with Matt Light in the locker room.
We didn't know that he was carrying around guns with him at all times and out here murdering people in the streets. Yeah, we didn't know that. We weren't aware of that activity. And so, yeah, I guess there are plenty of things in his past he could point to and say, yeah, this might be a, might want to red flag this guy. I just don't know that you can make the conclusion that they thought, they should have known he was murdering people.
No, I don't think that, I wouldn't put it on them to say they should have known what was going on all the time, because all this leads back to when something this unspeakable happens, you want an explanation. Like, how could this possibly happen? Oh, it's because he was a closeted homosexual. Oh, it's because he was abused by his father. You're talking, there are many people who suffer through very, I would say, similar circumstances, whether it's, you know, a troubled childhood or they have trouble coming out and all this. They don't turn into triple murderers. You desperately want some kind of reasoning behind it. And the fact that there may be no logical explanation for it isn't enough for some people. We got to come up with something. CTE. Oh, he was gay. Oh, he was abused by his father. Sociopath.
And he also shot a guy in the face who lived. Oops. So there's a lot to sort of get to in that documentary. We'll still talk about that. We have Read and React. It's coming up next.
Tonight.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. You
know. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
It's time to read.
I go with the specialty ones with just the berries.
And react.
Sorry, I'm a little under the weather.
Yeah.
With Zolak and Bertrand.
I got the prosciutto and I got the wine. Okay, now we can eat.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time now for Read and React. We believe this will be the final one we do. No more of these? No.
No. Well, for the football season, we'll be back next year, but yeah.
Right
we
after shark draft season. Time last year, I think.
Right
so.
After shark season.
We did. All right.
This could actually be like a cross-sport thing if we wanted it to be. But.
We could. We could make it that.
Could do it. Could do it.
Let's do it, though.
Here we go.
Read. React.
So,
Patty Mahomes' his girlfriend.
Patty.
You don't have a cousin, Patty. The shouted ones, the unsalted make me choke.
With Super Bowl 54 only 9 days away, Jimmy Garoppolo was asked what he learned from going to Super Bowls as Tom Brady's backup. Oh, what'd you learn?
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says he got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it, I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything, and obviously it worked out the 2 times that I was there with him, and so try to transfer that over to my game.
He's going to get sick of those. First of many. What was it like being around Tom? What's it like being around Tom?
Were you able to learn anything from watching Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah. I was able to learn
a
lot.
Great. It was so
he
much
really how to be Tom Brady.
He really took me under his wing.
Yeah.
He was so great. He actually invited me into TB12 all the time.
I thought there was a back
after
door.
Hours.
Doors were locked.
I got there and I couldn't even get in.
Yeah, it was a problem.
Bob, how's it been going?
React.
I saw that clip on the news the other day, and the news anchor started laughing after the clip was aired.
Senior Bowl taking place in Mobile, Alabama.
Yes.
Matt Patricia coaching the North squad. Matt Patricia is coaching.
When you say Matt Patricia is coaching, is he really actually doing any coaching?
Hey, Shanahan did it last year.
I don't know. He was mic'd up at practice, and it aired live on ESPN.
Oh, boy.
Saw Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels there on the sideline while he was mic'd up.
I'm mic'd, so don't say anything. I just want to say hi. How you doing? Yeah. I mean, I couldn't miss those sunglasses, though. I mean, I saw those from like 5 miles away. Like, that's nice right there.
Doesn't that tell you everything? Seriously.
I'm mic'd. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Shh. I'm mic'd.
Boy, they cover, man. They cover stuff. Cover your asses. I'd go talk to Matt Patricia before games.
And it's just by habit. He covers his mouth with his hand.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone knowing what I'm saying. This guy's
I've literally
talked to Zoe during the show now.
Yeah.
With my mouth covered.
I've literally seen him on airplanes.
No one knows what I'm saying.
Hardy, turn around. Get up on his seat and look over his seat to talk to the player behind him. And cover it with a sheet of paper. So I'm going to sit here directly talking to you.
It's all so
nobody
top
from marketing
secret.
Can read my mouth.
That's crazy.
Like Nikki and Frankie talking outside the Gold Rush.
The Gold Rush.
Who's this guy? Who's this guy?
Who's this guy?
Yeah. Oh, you want me to?
He was talking to an assistant on the field about a sled.
I'm mic'd up, by the way. And I absolutely MF'd the stadium people about the sled situation because my man wouldn't even talk to me like a child. He stayed in his office. And I was like, you can't be a grown man right now and have a conversation with me? I'm furious. So it's kind of where I'm at.
Oh, everything's mic'd up.
The stadium guy? He called the stadium guy a child?
I'm mic'd. So don't.
For not having a sled?
I'm mic'd up, by the way.
Yeah, okay, we know. You didn't get the right sled?
What, did he give an old rusty sled?
What's he looking for? The seven-man sled?
I'm mic'd up, by the way.
What's he searching for?
I absolutely MF'd the stadium people about the sled situation because my man wouldn't even talk to me like a child. He stayed in his office. And I was like, you're really not going to have a... You can't be a grown man right now and have a conversation with me? I'm furious. So... kind of run out.
Lions fan.
All right. Well, Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson fumbled a snap, and I guess Patricia was not happy with him.
Come on, man. Go. We got to get the exchange. We got to get the snap. Born the kids that snap from under center. We get that right. Yes, somebody's going to step on a ball. Let's go.
I can't hear what he's saying, Jim. You keep hitting that button.
If you were watching ESPN, you heard what he's saying because they couldn't keep up with the dump button fast enough.
Nice. Awesome.
Nice.
What was it, live?
Yes, yeah. Live at practice.
Oh my God.
They caught a few of them, but they couldn't catch all of them.
Wow.
You didn't care about being mic'd for that.
I'm mic'd up, by the way.
Yeah, well, you should have reminded yourself on that one.
Oh, all right, moving on.
It would be great if you told Shea Patterson that.
What's that?
If you told Shea Patterson, yeah, I'm mic'd up, by the way, and then laid into him.
Three.
Oh, don't mind us. We're just taking a nap.
React.
Don't worry, we won't.
This iguana is sleeping just like me.
What was this photographer's name? Vincent?
Lonnie.
Aaron Rodgers went on a podcast, talked about religion.
Why?
Because it was his girlfriend's podcast.
Oh,
he's on Danica Patrick's podcast talking about religion.
I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet, you know, to a fiery hell. Like, what type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being wants to condemn most of his beautiful creation to a fiery hell at the end of all this?
Is he stoned into Jesus?
He's nuts,
is that what he's like all the time?
When did he go lupo?
Or is that the girlfriend voice? I have a different voice for Danica.
Maybe I'm going to
put on
a show here.
Is this him saying he doesn't believe in God, period? Or he doesn't believe in her God?
What's the
context there?
Believes in the gods from other religions that want other people dead. Maybe not his God.
He could be talking about a God.
Who knows?
Not his God.
Or should make the intern listen to the entire podcast and report back to us.
Yes, give us a full report on that.
Just grow a set.
Two either pages, double spaced.
Either say, I believe in the baby Jesus, he's the be all end all, or say, it's all crap and we're all worm food. When you're dead, you're dead. But I don't know how certain.
Oh, it's beautiful creation.
I don't know how you can believe in a God who wants to condemn most of the planet?
I don't know. The people believe in all kinds of stuff. What do you believe in? What do you believe in?
I'm not going to shout down the philosophers of our time like Aaron Rodgers, who sits here and contemplates our existence. I'm not going to shout it down.
Like, what type of loving, sensitive, omnipresent, omnipotent being?
A lot of words. A lot of big words.
Someone needed to remind him.
I'm mic'd up, by the way.
Yeah. This is being recorded.
Jim, which family is floored by this? His family?
Yeah, his family's, yeah.
Yeah, his family's not happy with him.
They're
again.
Not happy with him.
Why?
They're big God people.
Did you hear the last 30 seconds? That's why.
They're fearing that he's not a...
He's saying it.
Not a godly man anymore.
Well, does his family's religion want half of the world to burn and perish in the fiery pits of hell?
Right, which God are they following?
I don't care.
How's that? I don't care.
It wasn't me.
React.
Oh, they got a new show. Congratulations.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Big Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz.
Over-under, right?
Over-under.
Saturdays at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. to 8 a.m.
7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Presented by our good friends at DraftKings.
And they'll still do their podcast, too. Still going to do their
podcast. Still going to do the podcast. Yep. They're still probably going to make some appearances on Toucher and Rich.
Been really thinking about this one with the weather coming in. I'm going to take the under.
And the question is, do they still want to produce tracks like they did this week? Because if they promise us one of those every week, we will continue to play them and promote the program.
When it's good, it's good. Yeah, like when Hardy does a fop, but you say, wow, that's good. We want more of those. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't me.
That's so bad. Hey, we're going to talk to Drew Bledsoe coming up at noon on the show. Also coming up next, reliving Radio Row last year to get us mentally prepared for Radio Row in 2020. Whoops. You'll want to hear that. We'll do it now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So, in case you didn't know already, starting on Monday, this show relocates to Miami Beach. Radio Row, Super Bowl 54. We're already working on the guest list. Got some good names coming through. We'll get to more on that on Monday. But in order to get ourselves ready for it, we thought what a perfect time to relive what went on there last year. It's always a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
Always fun. And just to get you ready for next week, we'll be there. Felger Maz will be there. And Rich Schertenlieb is going to be there doing some stuff for TNR. So we've got you covered. Wall-to-wall Super Bowl coverage next week as we get ready for the big game. So let's go to the montage. What happened last year when the Patriots were in the game?
And this hour of coverage from Radio Row is brought to you by the Hell of a Good Football Dip.
Lick it.
Talking with Charlie Weiss, former Patriots offensive coordinator. Who do you like in this game?
Oh, I think it's Patch, and I think it's Patch big.
Evan Washburn, we've talked across and Annapolis roots, so it's...
He must love you.
Oh, yeah.
He must love you.
Get that kid in here.
A lacrosse player from Annapolis?
You okay? Yeah, I went to move what I thought was a crumpled up piece of paper. Oh. It's like this nasty apple core wrapped in a piece of paper.
Gross.
That,
do you remember being at home and not being on TV when you first came into the league?
Yes. Yeah. Blackout. Yeah. Remember that? Why?
That's what the guy was calling about.
from MMQB.
Andy Benoit, you ever get one of those discussions with Greer and he starts to and it's like a stuttering prick, and he just can't get out of that mode?
Yes. Bob Papa is with us.
They were 10-1, and then Plaxico Burress shot himself in the leg.
Literally shot himself
in the leg. Literally shot himself in the leg.
Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe is with us. How are you feeling about the game, Dan?
I can't help but think the Patriots are going to win.
Of course.
I know. We're all.
What the hell's changed in 4 weeks with these people?
Daniel Wallach,
sports legal expert, predicts that this will be the last Super Bowl that Massachusetts residents will not be able to legally bet on.
Ooh. Well, this is a fine Hall of Fame, but there's an awful lot of minorities here. I'm going to get the hell out. Is that too loud?
Oh, yeah.
I was doing Ty Cobb. That wasn't me. See, it's a character I do.
That's
called
like Larry David.
Old-timey. No, they don't care.
Yeah. Opening night in Atlanta.
Dante Scarnecchia here with us.
I don't like being out here with all these people around. I just want to go. I just want to leave.
Cordarrelle Patterson, Matthew Slater, Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan, Patriots kicker, Steven Gostkowski. Do you want to be doing this when you're 46?
Honestly, no.
Kyle Van Noy.
You guys have been a big part of that, supporting us, and we want to prove to you guys and to people like Felger and Maz we could do it. You know what I mean?
I love how you pronounce that. Big Daddy, Rich Delgado.
Hypothetically, a guy you played with in college, did pretty well money-wise, is going into community media rooms and stuffing his bag full of chips. Would you say that's being fiscally responsible?
You know what? If it's free, take three, right?
Patriot great John Hannon.
Well, Dwight White spits at him. And Grove sitting here and he's going, trying to suck. He had a cotton mouth. Couldn't work up a spit, so he just made the sound.
Rob Ryan is with us. How are you not coaching again?
Well, if you wait for a few more days, I will be.
Just now been made official. Rob Ryan, inside linebackers coach for the Washington Redskins.
I'm convinced that God is a Patriots fan. Born in Dorchester or something like that.
One quick thing on Bert's shoes here. They look very soft. May I touch your shoe? What size?
These are 12.
You want to try it on?
No.
That's weird.
Former All-Pro with us, Kyle Turley.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner.
Let's move forward and give the Patriots credit where they deserve to have credit.
Just eat it.
Adam Vinatieri, who's with us.
You hit the ATM, you ride shotgun with me, we'll go out and celebrate tonight. You fired up?
I love it.
We're still here!
Here we go.
Here are the rails.
Where?
Here's the show.
I love this week.
Wow. That was Radio Row last year.
What was on your face?
Yeah, the playoff beard.
You look like Pete Abraham.
Don't have to do that again.
Oh, my God.
Here are the rails.
Where? Underrated part of that clip. Where?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Going to Miami this year.
Rails.
Everywhere.
All kinds of railways.
There. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yo. Okay, that was last year, and we'll do it all again this year, hopefully even better.
Can we find the club? What was
what, that Michelle Pfeiffer's dancing in?
Yeah.
Tony. Oh, no, it was the, damn it.
What the hell is the name of the club? I thought we'd go to,
what's the name? The Tropicana. Wasn't it the Tropicana?
No, I'm gonna look it up.
I bet you it's
I'm
the Tropicana.
It's not the the Babylon Club.
The Babylon Club. Babylon.
Again? Again.
They parked the Porsche right up front.
Flash, flash with the yayo.
Another one. Miss Cass, the sister, Gina, with the big
Hancock. No way.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
And Manny, that's my sister.
Right, yeah. No, she was fantastic in that.
You want kids? I like kids. You like kids?
As long as there's a nurse.
I'll watch that tonight.
Gina. Who played Gina? Her name is, it's a long name.
Olive Oil.
No. She's in the Abyss, too.
She could have played Olive Oil in the Popeye movie.
All right. Radio Row begins on Monday, and it will be a good time for all. Yeah. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Drew Bledsoe, former Patriots quarterback. That's coming up right after headlines. No commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.